I'm sorry I'm late. I was, the last day is always difficult because with the players and having the last meeting, you never know how long some of those things are going to go. And, spent meeting with some of the players afterwards because, unfortunately, once they get out these doors, their off-season starts. And it's hard to get a lot of time with them, so I kind of got held up a little bit today. So I apologize for making you hang around the building a little bit longer than you planned on it. And let me just say before we start, talked to Mr. Adams today, and he informed me that he was making a change in the front office. He was letting Mike Reinfeldt go, and that I would continue to be the head coach going forward. And that he, myself, Rustin, and Mr. Adams would get together sometimes later this week, possibly. It was good for all of us to kind of talk about the plan going forward and what our thinking was to get back to being in the playoffs and having a better season this year, that we would do that at that time. And so that's how we left it.
You glad to sort of know right away and can dive right into the offseason here with your plans?
Yeah, I think it's always best to know either way. For an organization to move on, to start making changes and do some things you think are necessary. And really now it's just about evaluating. I know we knew the end was coming. We were out of the playoffs for a couple weeks or so, and so obviously you start evaluating, and now that the season has ended, we have to start looking to see what we can do. And this is the time of year where obviously all the emphasis is on the coaching side for changes. Obviously personnel and things like that don't happen for a little while longer. So you're looking to see what we can do better. Is there a way to improve our staff? Is there a better alternative than what we have? Just like they do for me. I mean, to decide if I'm the best coach right now for the team, I think it's the same thing for us, is to see if there's spots where we need to make changes. If we think that, or I think that, we'll do that. If not, we'll move forward. So I think that's kind of what you're going through now, and we'll just move on to the offseason.
Anything with staff? Will you do anything with staff before that meeting with Bud?
It just depends on when we. I probably would if I was going to make any moves. He's always in a loop on anything we do. When we decide to do something with Chris, or last year when I let some coaches go, I can make the decision, and then I'll call Mr. Adams and let him know what the thinking is, why I'm doing it, make sure he's okay with it, understands it, and then move on. So, if for some reason I was going to make a change in the coaching staff and we hadn't met yet, well, then obviously I would call him and get him in a loop before I made any move like that, letting an employee go. So the timetable will just be, again, worst case, I will verbally talk to him over the phone and let him know what's going on. I think it's more of letting some time pass the off season, this thing today, and go from there.
Is giving up the most current season, like you're out of here, do you anticipate making moves, as Paul was about to say, giving up the most points? Is that
Well, that's not a reason why you give. You don't have to say, well, we did that last year. We were eighth best, eighth least points gave up. This year, we obviously were on the other end of the spectrum. So I think you'll see a lot of teams on, if you start looking at just stats like that and say, well, last year they were last. I mean, like I said, last year, the Giants had the worst running game of football and they won the Super Bowl. Should they have fired the line coach? I mean, you have to look at inside the numbers to decide what to do. And then is there a better alternative than what you have? Yeah, whatever the position is. So it's easy to just say, look at a stat and say they need to change that. You need to fix it, obviously, so it doesn't happen again next year. You're not going to be in the playoffs if you give up too many points, obviously. So there's a lot of ways to fix something other than just a coaching change. Personnel has a lot to do with it. Situations have a lot to do with it. So you have to look at all those factors and then decide, do I make a change just to make change? So it looks like I attacked that problem because I added a new coach. Or do we do it because the coach is actually gives us a better chance to become better? I mean, you have to look at all those factors when you make any change on your team, especially when it has to do with coaching or personnel. If you're going to make a change in a player, it's the same thing. You just can't have a knee-jerk reaction because something wasn't, you want to fix it so everyone looks like, look at us, we made all these changes. The bottom line is going to be, no matter how many changes I make, is how many games we win next year.
So, Jerry Craig did a good job this year.
I think he did a good job. I think he handled a season that started off on the wrong foot. I thought he did a good job to weather the storm and get these guys playing better individually. I think a lot of guys improved. As a team early, I think a lot of it was, again, I'm not going to sit here and have an excuse meeting here. That's for us to work on in the off season. But as far as to fix stuff on our own, but when you start off the way we did with the teams we played, losing McCarthy. A lot of things were going on. You know, it's not just, again, the offense affects the defense affects the offense. There's a lot of factors to weigh in there on truly what is the coaching blame or the coaching end of this thing that could have been fixed versus what was going on and what can't necessarily be fixed, and what part's personnel, what part's coaching, what part's that's the thing. It's a fine line I think you have to take a good look at and go from there. I mean, we had more sacks this year. We had more interceptions this year. We scored more touchdowns off those. So we did do some things. And, again, I didn't go through all the stats yet to figure out how I can sell what we're going to do. I think it's more of looking at the tape and deciding, you know, what's best for the players we have. Do we have the right personnel? Do we need to make some changes? Would that make us better coaches because we have better players? That seems to happen a lot. So I think you have to weigh all those factors in before you make a decision on what we're going to do.
How would you assess Dowell's performance over the last five games, and what about the offense?
Well, it's the same thing. I think it's hard. I mean, it's hard to evaluate what we did. Just take the game yesterday. Jake was 9 for 15 for 150 maybe. So if the two balls that should have been caught, one for 84 yards, one for 20 yards, he's 11 for 15 for 250. So is that Jake's fault that they dropped the ball, or is that the coordinator's fault? So you have to look at – what most people look at is the stats. I look at the stats and decide, okay, he threw 10 picks. Well, that means he's struggling. He's not a good quarterback. Well, why did he throw the 10 picks? I mean, so look within the numbers a little bit. I think what people don't do much of, it's rush to judgment a lot of times. So I think it's the same way with the coordinator. You look at what he did, what the alternative is, who's out there. You mentioned there's names out there. Is there a name meaning that the guy's going to come in here and be a great coach for us? You have to look at what's a fit, not just a name. What someone's done in the past doesn't mean they're going to do it again. So there's a lot of factors, I think, when you're making those kind of decisions.
What if someone coaches like to get hired in the next few days? Is there any urgency on your part if you do make changes to have the biggest pool available?
Oh, definitely. I don't know that a lot of coaches are going to be hired that fast as far as head coaches. There's usually a process there of interviewing. It's going to probably take at least 10 days or whatever. I mean, there may be a couple guys that know who they want, but you still have to go through the process. But it's more reaching out like I did before I even got the job. You start talking to coaches, assuming you're going to get it. So you're doing your homework on guys that you may think are a good fit for your staff. If I think I have a couple spots we need to replace, then yes, I'm going to start immediately on guys I think could come and help us better. I mean, that's my job to do that as far as how I evaluate the offense and defense. If it's a coordinator, if it's a position coach, yeah, I'm aware of who's out there. You keep track of those things, whose contracts are up for coaches even that are still not fired. So you're looking at both ends of the stick of what's out, like we did last year when we hired some defensive back coaches. I mean, it was more, you let some guys go, made some changes, and you jumped on some guys that, we got Brett Maxey from – he was at Dallas. So, I mean, things like that. You're going to continually to look at what's out there, what makes you better. Is it a good fit for what we have? I mean, there's a lot of factors other than the obvious. Again, I'm not interested in winning the press conference in February over these named guys I hired. It's going to – because the ultimate is going to come down to what we do in September, October, November, December. That's what we're going to make the decision off. So, I've got to make good decisions because, obviously, I'll be running out of time myself as far as being head of this coach if I make bad decisions with my hiring.
No, I'm not saying.
All I'm saying is Jerry Gray is our defensive coordinator, and that's all I'm saying.
With Mike Reinfeldt out, is there any change now in terms of your authority or your freedom to do the job within the organization?
Not that I'm aware of.
Somebody you'd like to keep on in some capacity, maybe even coordinator, and is there a scenario where Dowell would return to what he was doing before?
I think that's going to be an important fit on the staff, is having a good coordinator and a good quarterback coach that are best for Jake. I mean, obviously our goal going forward on offensive side of the ball is our quarterback and surrounding him with the best coaches, surrounding him with the best players for us to be successful and play better than we did this year. And so, yeah, I think I'm going to look at any combination we think may work when we're trying to put that together. I know Tom left today. Tom did a great. It was great having him here. I think the players enjoyed that. Tom wants to be an offensive coordinator. He feels excited. He feels he's got a lot of energy. He feels great about it. I mean, I think he'll be great at what he does. It's just a matter of what we feel is best here going forward. But yeah, I think you try to piece together your staff in the best way you can.
What was your rationale for getting rid of Mike Reinfeldt but keeping Russ?
I didn't talk to Mr. Reinfeldt, but, or. Mr. Adams about any of that.
How did you evaluate Dow? I know you only had a few weeks as offensive coordinator, but what were your thoughts on that?
You know, I thought he... I thought he managed people well. I thought he prepared. He laid out. I thought just watching all the little things behind the scenes, not just on Sunday, do we win or lose, which eventually, obviously, that's what you're going to be judged for. But I thought he handled the game plan stuff well. He's got a lot of good ideas. Again, I'm not going to sit here and talk about how handcuffed he was and how, because that's all obvious. I mean, it's not his system. It's not exactly how we do things. You know, having an off season, you can make things dramatically different as far as the procedures on how plays are called, how formations are done, just a lot of things that clean up a lot of clutter that keeps you from playing fast. And I think we had a lot of things in our offense that doesn't allow the quarterback to play as fast as we'd like, too much thinking going on. You can fix some of that in a 4 or 5 week span, but when receivers are used to doing things a certain way for so long, it's hard to all of a sudden, this route's 10, not 12, this is that, read this coverage, do that. And so it's hard to transition to what you're going to be. So I'm excited for what I saw and what he did. I thought he handles the game well within the game as far as how the plays come out, his thinking, his rationale. So all that for a guy who never actually called plays in a game, this game a chance to, you know, call five games. The first game he called was against Houston. We lost two offensive linemen in 10 plays. So all of a sudden his right tackle, Stewart, breaks his leg and the left guard's out. Hutch is out after in his first two series as an offensive coordinator. And you remember that's the game we dropped 8 balls, you know, against Houston. So there's a lot of stuff to look at internally and see what's the best fit, and it's about Jake. So, I mean, I thought a lot of things was good. Do we score enough points? No. Do we want to score more points? Definitely. Is that all his fault? He's a part of it just like everybody else is. So there's nothing that showed me he couldn't do it. But, again, that's so that I think you just take that going forward because a lot of things he did, you know, I thought was real good. And there's things, again, he, you know, learning on the job. There's stuff he'll get better at the more he does it.
If there was systematic stuff that kept him from playing fast, that kept the offense from playing fast, didn't you have the wrong system? Didn't you have the wrong coordinator before you made the change? Didn't you?
Well, I didn't have I had the – you're talking about changing Chris Palmer?
Yeah, was that a mistake if there was stuff that systematically kept your offense from playing fast?
Which was a mistake? Was Chris a mistake? No. When we brought Chris in, we didn't have a quarterback. So Chris Palmer was had it. We had Rusty Smith was our only quarterback on the roster, so I wouldn't necessarily say his system was bad. His system has been successful where he's been at times. New York, a similar system. Partially what we did in the run and shoot a little bit. But so it was kind of like I said, from the time I got this job, everything's been coming backward. You know, we hired coaches with, you know, without having quarterbacks, which is a pretty important position to know what you're doing. We didn't have that luxury of having that. We didn't have a free agency, NFL free agency. It happened when camp started. We didn't have an off season with your players to teach your system. So everything was kind of, and I know the coaches that came in with me went through the same thing. So I'm just saying is that just made it a little bit harder. And then when you try to grow the system this year, it seemed like it just added some more confusion with the quarterbacks and the receivers. I'm not blaming Chris. I think Chris, and again, I think Chris is a very good football coach. Sometimes, again, you see coaches get fired every day. A bunch of coaches got fired today are very good football coaches. But for some reason, the fit didn't work. It didn't, you know, the results didn't come the way they hoped. So that happens in all positions, not just the head coach. And so sometimes you reach a point where it looked like good. Last year, again, we got some numbers. We were heading the right direction, we thought. But again, I think this year we got a little more exposed in some of our weaknesses. It showed up more than it did a year ago, and we couldn't overcome.
How aggressive do you need to be in free agency this offseason to bring some more leadership into the locker room? Like 5-6 years ago when Mawai and Hope and Thornton and those guys came aboard, and it kind of changed the culture.
I think it's important. I think every team is trying to accomplish that. That's the problem. Everyone's trying to find these guys, and a lot of teams, if they have one of those guys, won't let them go unless they're just asking for way too much money. So I think that's definitely a part. Again, I mentioned free agency. I feel like we really haven't been part of free agency the last 2 years. I thought last year, again, with the Manning thing going on, I thought it limited us in times where we couldn't be, you know, a lot of guys, like you talked about, the coaches get eaten up, well, players get eaten up in the first couple of weeks also in free agency. So I think this is a year that We can improve the roster in a lot of ways. I mean, we have to make good decisions. I think we've drafted well. We have two draft classes. I think that prove that out. I think you have one more with we have the 10th pick. We should get some good football players. We'll probably get a compensatory pick or two this year because we're losing guys. So we're going to have a chance to add some players. We have some money to spend. I think we have to do a good job of getting the right guy in here and surround, you know, with what we have here, the young talent we feel we have with the veterans, and in the back of our mind, knowing you want to bring the right kind of guy in here. And I think we'll do that because we've been doing that. And that's what's exciting. That's when I try to sell the future of the Titans. That's what it's about. I mean, I could sit here and tell you a lot of teams that were 6-10 and did this something special the next year, or they're 4-12 and did something special the next year. But to do that, you have to make some good decisions in the offseason. And so that's going to be the challenge, and that's the exciting part, and that's just that Rustin and I and his group upstairs and my coach and the staff have to do a great job adding to our talent that we have.
Was that a nerve-wracking call to Bud Adams today, or did you know that all of these points that you just made were, you know, made a lot of sense, and that he would, you know, be understanding of kind of the hurdles that you had to deal with?
Yeah, I think the overview, Mr. Adams, has a good feel for what when I got hired, what the challenge was going to be ahead. He wants to win like we all do. He wants a championship here like we all do. We understand. I mean, that's everyone understands that. And so I think he understands what needed to be done. You know, things that kind of made it a little harder this year. But the bottom line to me is, we just got to win. I mean, I think he felt that to make that move right now, I guess, wasn't the right move to make. And so hopefully I'll prove him right.
You said last week that you thought you were close to fixing things quickly in some areas, or you could fix them quickly moving forward. Are there some spots that you can point to, whether injuries or youth or going out and getting a free agent, that maybe it's closer than it appears from the outside?
Well, again, like I say, if you just go on the defensive side, I think we've shown we got some young linebackers that are making plays that are going to get so much better than they are right now. You see why Zach Brown was exciting to us in the second round, because the way he can run for a guy his size, and he's going to play much better next year than he did this year. Keem Ayers, having 5-6 sacks this year and helping us, and playing better this year. And McCarthy's the tough spot. That was the hard part of the defense, and I felt that hurt us the most on that side of the ball, losing him. But I think you look at some guys are developing really well. Cody played a lot, sense of ball, ended up playing a lot. So we had a lot of young guys, I think, contributed to the defensive tackles. I mean, Morgan had a great year this year. I think the year everyone, we all said, what's he going to do? Well, he had 6.5 sacks, and he hit the quarterback a ton of times. Won a lot yesterday again. I just think that's exciting to see that your young guys he's come off the ACL, took him the year to get back and is making contributions, so you have a lot to build off. I think going into the year, so you can look at spots and say, okay, we got to do this at safety, we got to do this to make another big defensive end, we got to do this. So you have some spots where you can sit there and say, okay, this is making sense here. And you get like we talked a second ago, if you get the right guy with the right personality, it brings a little oomph, to the game that you're missing at times. All of a sudden, you're going, wow. I mean, he brings out the best in all your 11 guys. And that's what we missed this year when McCarthy got hurt. That gets very underestimated of how important that is to a team and how that's contagious. His kind of the way he plays and making plays. Like you saw yesterday, we start picking ball. We dropped the first three like we didn't know how to catch a football. That game, people say, well, you guys were getting blown out. We should have been blowing them out from the beginning of the game. We had three opportunities to be up 21-28-7 in the second quarter. All right, but we dropped three in a row. And then all of a sudden, Zach catches one. Then all of a sudden, we're catching the tough ones. And we put the game away, or we get the punt returns. So I think you can see how quickly a game can change. That's happened to us three or four times this year. They thought they were in control of the game. All of a sudden, we blew it. We made plays, and all of a sudden, the game's over. So that's what's exciting about it. And offensive side, same way. We know we're going to build the offensive line. That's exciting to me, get some young guys. We haven't done that since we drafted Roos and Stewart, back in that year when we got them. Where we're going to get some young guys to add to the offensive line, which will be, like I said, exciting to do. And receivers are looking good. The tight ends, we got a lot of pieces in place. It's just a matter now of fitting in around them and getting guys that can contribute. So I think it will change quickly. We'll be much better in 6-10 next year.
Was Jacob a bad fit in the run and shoot system? And do his skills fit better in the system that Dallas is running now?
I should say, as far as I wouldn't necessarily say Chris's system was a total run and shoot. A lot of the concepts, or based off that because the options routes and options to read coverage. And it does, when I say not playing fast, when you're doing too many of those things, then obviously you're waiting to see what the receiver's doing. You're hoping he sees it the same way, and you're getting some bad habits. And I think that takes a while to develop. And so I think going forward, yeah, I think what we're asking to do and some of the things Dallas hadn't started to do are taking some of the gray out of the deal. And unfortunately, it's hard to measure any of this other than what we see in-house because, again, those times and games that looked real good and the production wasn't there. We missed some guys wide open. But you look at scheme-wise, again, there was plays to be made. It wasn't like there wasn't some plays there. It's either a drop, it's either a bad throw, it's the pressure on the quarterback where he's getting hit first, third, and three. The guy's wide open. He's throwing it to the right guy, but he has the right guards pushed back into his lap, and the ball sails high. Well, if you're going to watch that, you're going to say, oh, man, he's not accurate. But he's getting hit by his own offensive lineman on a play that he's going to the right spot on a wide-open guy. So I think those are the things that you have to look at, not to cover up and make excuses, because believe me, he's thrown some balls that the play 2 weeks ago to the tight end. The guy's wide open. He's trying to throw a perfect pass to Taylor Thompson, and he just got to put the ball out there and let him catch it. That could have been a touchdown, right? 7-0 Titans, right, against Green Bay. So, I mean, those are the things that, again, he's got to – it's not as what people think. People get caught up in numbers way too much. It's just like politics. You hear the catchphrase, man, and everyone's just using the same catchphrase and don't even know what it means, you know?
You're emphasizing that we're getting caught up in numbers. Some of those scores were incredibly ugly, and points are probably the most important numbers of it. How are we overemphasizing the numbers of getting beat?
No, I'm saying what happens in. I'm not saying about
55 points to Green Bay or things like that.
I didn't say that. I said look inside numbers to see what's happening at a player. I didn't say anything about a final score. I was talking about his stats on his throwing stats, for example, if you look at that. Like I mentioned,
you
the
said,
game.
You said earlier when we asked about the franchise record for points.
Well, I said I went to Jerry saying a year ago he was eighth best. So I should say give a bonus last year and then fire him this year because he gave it the most?
What happens most recently is most significant, huh?
Yeah, well, we're going to look at fixing what's going on. Yes, you get the fair. Why those is all those points a defense's fault? You have to look at, are they? Do you have a percentage for me?
How
many pick sixes there were, or how many the offense may have been responsible for? I mean, that's what I'm asking. I mean, it's not an excuse. We can't give up a lot of points. You're not going to win a lot of games. You have a lot of points. I'm not arguing the point. My point is saying is you have to look. You don't fire someone just because their defense gave a lot of points. You're going to look to see what's wrong, and if it's the coach, you're going to make a change. If you feel that's most of the problem is coming from the coach, and you have a better answer because coach. There's another coach over here you feel is going to be better for your team. You're going to make a change, and that's what we'll do if that's what we feel is right. But we're not just going to do it because we gave up X amount of points. That's not the only reason you do something. That's all I'm saying.
How long will that process take to figure out who's out there?
I think it starts now. You all want to do it the sooner the better. It's good for everybody. It's good for your coaching staff. It's good for, like you said, there's more opportunity this time of year when there's more coaches available. You can't always get who you want, but I think you want to make as quick as decisions as you can.
Did Mr. Adams say to you if you want to come back to either make the playoffs or else next year?
No, not yet.
Chris Johnson said in the locker room that he wasn't sure what his status would be for next year, considering he's under contract. That seems somewhat like an odd statement. Is there any scenario in your mind that he wouldn't be back?
I think he says that because apparently he has, I don't know, I'm not into, I mean, because I hear you guys report it a lot, that he has, we could let him out of his contract or something, so I'm assuming that's why he's saying there's always a reason he may not be here, but I mean, as far as we're concerned, we haven't even had conversations about personnel, but I would assume he'd be here.
Griff is in a similar situation, do you expect him to be on?
Again, we're not making any personnel changes as I know of right now, and just a matter of, again, you're not going to let someone go unless you feel like we have a chance to get someone that's better or there's a better answer. But no, right now, we're I assume Griff and Chris will be on our team next year.
Anything else?
You got just a surgery?
We're going to meet on that tomorrow, or not tomorrow, but Wednesday. So to know exactly who's having what done and where they're having it done. And then some guys, if they're that's more of a – they just had their checkouts today to see where everybody is, and some guys may need some more tests, so we'll do that over the next couple of days.
As many injuries as you've had this year, is that going to affect the early part of the offseason, you think, or is it just going to be more guys around rehabbing early?
Yeah, it's going to be a decision on a lot of these guys, some of them, a lot of them are coming back healthy. I mean, that are healthier now because they're through the rehab and it's coming to an end. So, we'll have a lot of people in the building, though, because for rehab-only purposes. But ideally, you want these guys, the thing you don't want to have happen is guys think they can put it off, and they think, I'm going to be okay, and then all of a sudden they need their scope in March and April. And that's they're the injuries that bother you because then they're missing OTAs and camp and all that. So as a staff, as a medical staff, you have to do a good job, I think, of making sure we don't allow that to happen. And if we think something needs to be done, encourage the player to get it done, let him get a second opinion. If he's not, doesn't feel comfortable, and then have the procedure done, so we're as healthy as we can be, and in the spring when we get started.
Is there any scenario you think in which Steve Hutchinson might decide to finish his career?
Anytime I think being in his shoes, he's played longer than me now. But anytime you've been playing that long, and his knee was sore this year, and having his first scope, I think I'm sure he's been having that thought in his mind the last so many years. So I haven't talked to him myself yet about any of that. I'm sure he hasn't. I'm sure he's thought about it, but I think it's more about him getting healthy now and then finding out how he feels going forward. And I think that's usually when you get past 10, you just go 1 year at a time, kind of along those ways of health and how you're feeling. So I'm sure he'll go through that process, and we'll talk to him at some point.
Envision Jake being back in time for all the OTAs?
I don't know the time to, again, that's something we'll talk with the doctors after the surgery to see exactly where he's at. There's always those predictions of X amount of months, 3 months, 4 months, 5 months. So it's more of wait till the procedure's done, wait till they get in there. Just like with Cooks, I think they realize it's going to be less than they thought for his as far as rehab. It's more of waiting to see. We're hoping that, yes, it's his non-throwing shoulder, so we're hoping that it's something where he's able to do most of the work in the spring.
Thanks.